Living to please God. That's our topic. Living to please God. Yes, Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. What an example we have right there. So while you're locating 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, may I share with you that in the first three chapters of this book in the Bible, Paul the Apostle showed his love and concern for the church there in Thessalonica. He assured the believers there of his deep interest in their welfare. He expressed to them heartfelt sympathy because of their persecution and bitter trials. He also explained how he longed to return to them. He obviously loved them so much. He wanted to be in their presence again. That we find in the first three chapters. When we come to chapter 4, we begin another division of the letter. Paul admonished and exhorted the believers concerning certain subjects and doctrines in which they needed further guidance and instruction. Sometimes we can use further guidance and instruction. He provided great information, even about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But first, he dealt with Christian morals and conduct. He discussed chastity, sanctification of the body, and diligence in secular work. We can see all of that. And I trust that you'll follow with me as we look at the first 12 verses in this chapter for the message here today. So let's read the first 12 verses, and then I'll go back and share some information with you. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Notice that last verse that I just read. All that information prior to that, Paul was pretty much saying, you do these things and you can walk in the right way. You can live in the right way among people that are not even part of the church, and you can have your needs supplied. So let's go back to verse number 1. He said, furthermore. Remember, this was an epistle. This was a letter. He had shared a lot of information with them by spirit inspiration, by the inspiration of God. And so he comes, and here the word furthermore is a word that means finally. He is getting to a point where he has more to say. And so he says, we beseech you, brethren. Now, I would emphasize to you that beseech means ask. So he was asking these people, I believe with a heart of love. And he said, exhort. That means to urge, to encourage, to urge. And brethren means brothers in the Bible, brothers in Christ, people who share that faith in the Lord. And so he said, we beseech you, we're asking you, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are exhorting you, we are urging you that as you have learned before, that you walk in such a way that you please God. Now, walk refers to how we live, not just putting one foot in front of another, but walk refers to how we live. It's the Christian conduct thing. It's the way of Christian life. And so Christians are to walk worthy of their calling and walk in the light. What does that mean, to walk in the light? It means to walk according to the Bible, to walk the way the Lord wants us to walk. Have we done it perfectly? If you're following with me on that, I think you know none of us is perfect. Only the Lord is. But the more we try and the more we depend on the Lord to help us, the better it can go. And so Paul was encouraging these people to do what? To walk and to please God. To walk and to please God. Now, they had been instructed by Paul about how to live in order to please God. Now, somebody today might wonder, well, okay, how do you live to please God? The simple answer is, do the best you can to do what the Bible says to do. Now, you might think, well, that's pretty simple. Yes, indeed. But there's a lot involved with that, to try to live according to the Bible. And so he gave them credit, I believe, for living for the Lord. He knew they were living for God. But he was asking them, he was urging them in the name of the Lord Jesus to keep on doing so. I hope by the grace of God that I don't quit on God. How about you? I hope by the grace of God that I do not abandon the faith, so to speak. I hope by the grace of God that I can love the Lord who first loved me. And I hope you have that same mindset here today. And so don't miss the last part of the verse. He said, basically, I know you're living for the Lord, but oh, I want to encourage you to keep on doing it so that you can have an abundant life, so that you can abound more and more. I don't see much limit on that. More and more. God blesses when we're faithful. God blesses when we're obedient. And I think Paul learned that in his life. And so, yes, he wanted them to live the right way. And I would repeat, he gave them credit for living for God, but he wanted them to not get away from it. He wanted them to keep on doing it, that they would keep on pleasing God. Now, remember, that's our theme today, living to please God. I would be foolish if I said to you, I've always, every day of my life, done nothing but that which pleased God. Is there anyone here that can say that? Please don't raise your hand. And we know the truth is that we fall short many times. But oh, there's still a lot of difference between someone that's trying and someone who has turned away from the things of the Lord. Paul said in verse 2, you know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. In other words, he reminded them about what they had already learned about serving God. He reminded them of the instructions they had been given by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that Paul was concerned about their welfare. Paul seemed to be the kind of person that cared more about the welfare of others than himself. He was so dedicated to God after he got saved. Dedication is a good thing in the right way. I wonder how many today are dedicated to God. Do you know God, first of all? Do you have your faith in Christ as your Savior? And if you do, do you love Him? Are you dedicated? Am I? Are we making an effort to live according to God's will? I can assure you, for you and me and all of us, life goes better when we at least try to live according to God's plan. Living to please God. And did you know, don't expect anything that's a genius thought here, but did you know that that's a lot different than living to where all you want to do is please yourself? All you want to do is please yourself. You don't care about anybody around you? I think we've got people here that don't live that way. But that doesn't satisfy in life. People that are really satisfied in life, especially from a Christian perspective, are those that have their faith in the Lord and they love the Lord and they love other people by the grace of God. Oh, yes, I keep talking about Paul loved those people. He wanted the opportunity to visit with them again. And that means a lot in life even today, which you can have fellowship with Christians, whether it's in your own church or somewhere else, fellowship with people who know the Lord like you do. And so Paul was giving them this information. In verse 3, he said, for this is the will of God. God's will is not all hidden from people. Did you know that? God's will is not all hidden. There may be many aspects of what God wants people to do in life. But in this case, he said, it's God's will that you live a clean life, is basically what it was. He said in verse 3 that this is your sanctification. It's God's will that you abstain from fornication. So I'll touch on this as part of the message here today, and then we'll move on to the other parts of the scripture that we have read. And so sanctification means what? Sanctification means to be set apart for God's special use and purpose. Sanctification is an act of making holy. Sanctification is synonymous with consecration, full dedication, and entire devotion to God. So that's sanctification. Fornication give you just a brief meaning, refers to sexual immorality. And there was a major problem in early Christianity with people maintaining their purity. Pagan religions often condoned that type of immorality as part of their rites or their rituals, the things that they did. And ancient Roman culture had few boundaries in that area. Someone wrote, I want to read these words to you. Someone wrote, sexual standards were very low in the Roman Empire, and in many societies today, they're not any higher. Something to think on right there. Paul then was strongly urging those Thessalonian people in that church to not participate in that kind of activity outside of marriage. He said in verse 4 that you should possess your own vessel. In other words, control your own body. That's what he's talking about. And so the believer should exercise control in a way that's holy and honorable. And do you know, folks, this is a sobering truth. But if our living, whatever aspect we look at, but if our living does not please God, there's always that possibility that it might turn other people away from Him. That leads me to this reminder. People do watch Christians. They do watch Christians. They might not be sitting in the chair on the porch and all they're doing is staring at you all the time, but people are observant. We all are, aren't we? And that includes lost people or people that are not too tuned in to the things of God. They notice if you go to church on Sunday. They notice the way you live. Is that discouraging or encouraging? People notice. They do. And so if we live the right way, that's a good testimony for God. But if we don't, then that can have a bad influence on other people along the way. And so Paul wanted them to live the right way. Verse 5, he said, don't do it in the lust of concupiscence. Now that word concupiscence means sensual or lustful. And so the believer is not to live in passionate lust as the Gentiles who did not know God. And they should not control God's people, those kinds of passions. And then you go to verse 6. And he said that nobody should go beyond and defraud his brother. Now, the believers were not to defraud or take advantage of another believer in this matter. Although it's not good to defraud or take advantage of someone in any matter, this advice pertained to the morality topic that he was dealing with. And Paul stated that God is the avenger of all who will live that way. That's right there in verse 6. God is the avenger of all who will live that way. And Paul and his co-workers had testified to the people and forewarned them about this subject. You see right there, he said, as we also have forewarned you and testified. He was sort of reminding them, we talked to you about this, about how it goes. And so Paul essentially said, the Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. And then in verse 7, he said, for. That's sort of like, because God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Oh, it's still so true that being clean spiritually is better than being dirty. Being holy is better than being ungodly. Oh, we're not perfect. I know that, and you know that. But with God's help, we can try to keep going forward, can't we? We can. And so, God has not called us. That's very understandable in light of the scripture. He's not called us to live in unclean ways or unholy ways, but he's called us to live the right way. And then you go to verse 8 and it says, he that despises not man but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, we can see, I believe, in context here that a person who despises is one who rejects this teaching. Rejects this teaching. Do you know that if a person rejects this type of instruction, it just says here that person is rejecting not man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. Here's a quotation for you. Rejecting holiness is rejecting God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, several verses there dealt with the matter of them living holy and clean lives. And that's part of the Bible for us today. But then you come to verse 9, and he sort of changed subjects, and he started talking about brotherly love. The world talks a lot about love, right? The world talks a lot about love in one way or another, one type or another. But the brotherly love among men and women and boys and girls in the family of God is one of those special things that God has made available, you might say, to you and me. You might love your earthly family, your blood kin people, and that's good. But isn't there a good love among the family of God as well? And that's a special thing. God made it possible. And Paul said, as touching or concerning brotherly love, he said what? He said, you don't need me to write to you about that. What does that mean? He said, I don't need to write to you about brotherly love because you have been taught of God to love one another. I wonder if anybody here today can think with me for a moment. After you got saved, whether you were a child or an adult, teenager, whatever, after you got saved, did you find yourself gravitating toward Christians? Or did you find yourself having a concern, a desire to treat people right and love people, that you didn't sit down and make a five-year plan and said, okay, year three, I might start doing this, and year four, I'm going to add to it? No, it's just one of those things, I believe, is because God has worked in your heart. God has worked in your heart, and you start thinking that way. Brotherly love, it can be a special thing. Don't you know you can love people that don't even agree with you on everything? Am I telling the truth? You can love people that don't share your views on everything. I'm not talking about condoning evil. I'm just saying not everybody has the same view. Not everybody has the same preference. Not everybody has the same idea on everything. That's nothing new. That's nothing new. But we can love people even if we have different ideas sometimes. Okay, so Bible teaching is still important. And the Bible was very clear. You might say then the Bible's still clear that believers should love one another. I think there are probably people here today that would say, if I had to eliminate from my life my Christian friends who love me, I'd be in bad shape. I'd be a lot worse off. I'm just trying to emphasize that brotherly love was important then. It's still important today. Isn't it a blessing when someone else in the family of God expresses kindness to you? Isn't that a blessing? Someone says, I'm praying for you, and means it. Someone does something that's just a kind gesture. We notice those things. Brotherly love. And Paul said, you're taught of God to do it. Then you go to verse 10. And he even gave them credit. He said, you indeed do this. You love other people. You love one another. He said, you love all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. He was covering a pretty good area there. And he was giving the people in Thessalonica credit for loving in a broad way, acknowledging that they love believers throughout all Macedonia. But even with that acknowledgement, Paul urged them to add to it. He urged them to increase more and more, the wording is here, to increase more and more, to increase their love. In elementary and basic terms, it's sort of like Paul said, I know you people are good at loving one another, even not right by your house, so to speak. But keep on and do it more. And see if you can't do it even better. Keep on loving one another. And I suspect some of you here today have learned along the way that you can love Christians all over the world. You have something in common because your faith is in the same Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that love is a special thing. It really is. Then you get to verse 11. Paul said, and that you study to be quiet. So in verse 10, he gave them credit for their love and said, keep on doing it. But then the verse continues, or the sentence continues, and that you do what? Study to be quiet. There are three things here in particular. Paul reminded them of what they'd been told in the past. He said, as we commanded you in the last part of verse 11. In other words, based on the instruction we gave you in the past, here's what you need to do. Study to be quiet. That's one. Do your own business. That's two. Work with your own hands. That's three. So you can see with me there is a variety of information in this particular chapter as Paul wrote to them. But I would emphasize back in verse 1, he said what he said to them about how to walk and to please God. It all fits together. What about this thing then of studying to be quiet? This did not refer to a lack of activity, but it referred rather to an inner quietness and peace befitting the Christian faith. It's sort of like you have a quietness in your heart, a quietness in your soul that's worth something. You don't have a lot of chaos going on. Study to be quiet. And work with your own hands. We'll come back to the other one. Work with your own hands. From what I have read, some of the Thessalonians might have become idle. Is that hard or easy to do? Just think on that. Is it hard in life or easy to become idle? Some of them might have become idle. Some of them might have been influenced by an abhorrence of physical labor. Oh, I think that's still around in the world, you think? An abhorrence of physical labor. And some of them might have depended on others for handouts. We have that in the world as well. And I believe Paul was saying all this as the Spirit inspired him, because he wanted them, even with all their love for other people, he wanted them to give attention to being dedicated and productive workers, so that they may bring honor to Christ's name. He said, to do what? To work with your own hands. Now, we know not everybody has the same physical abilities and capabilities. I think the principle here is people that should be working and were just not doing it. And so he said, you work with your own hands like we told you you should do. And so that's what we see there. Study to be quiet. Work with your own hands. But what about right in the middle of that? Do your own business. Do your own business. Do you know what that pretty much meant? Paul was saying, as you love other people, as you walk the Christian walk, as you do the things that a Christian should do, don't be busybodies. Don't be going about trying to take care of everybody else's business. I'm glad nobody's here like that today. Have you ever heard of one like that? Maybe. We can smile, we cannot smile. But the truth is, that's one of those things that's easy to do if you're not careful. It's to become a busybody. And the Bible warns about it, doesn't it? Don't be a busybody. I want to read to you a quotation. I didn't make it up, but I thought it was good. Will you listen? Let me read this to you. Here's what it says about people not minding their own business. It says this. Usually, people who are busy running other people's affairs do not run their own affairs well. That's food for thought right there. Usually, people who are busy running other people's affairs do not run their own affairs well. Have you ever had someone, Christian or non-Christian, try to tell you how you ought to do something, and you can tell that person's not doing a good job of it either? That could happen, couldn't it? The point here is, Paul said, folks, keep on loving. Keep on living the right way. Have that quietness in your life. Don't be busybodies. Get out there and be productive. Work like you're supposed to do. And if you'll notice in the structure, the sentence goes on from verse 10 to verse 11, even to verse number 12. And in verse number 12, he said, if you will walk honestly in the right way. That, in other words, walk properly toward others. That can help you out in your life. So I go to that verse as I touched on it earlier. He said, if you will do all this, that you can be able to walk properly toward others. It would help everybody, so to speak. It would help themselves. It would help others that they were around. Their daily lives could win the respect of outsiders. And this type of living would help them to provide for themselves and not be dependent on other people. Now, before I close the message today, I just want to emphasize to you, here in Thessalonica, Greece, was this church. It had a lot of fairly young Christians in the church. Paul was being used by God, Paul and his co-workers, to minister to them. And so Paul was writing to them because he wasn't at this time in their presence. And he gave them a lot of good information that they needed in their lives. And if you put it all together, I believe we still have this. Paul gave them great credit for how they were living for God, but at the same time, he was encouraging them to stay with it and to do even better if they could. That's good advice for us too, don't you think? To stay with it and to do even better if we can. Somebody might say, well, what does that mean? Well, the basics of Christianity are still there. It's good to go to church. It's good to read your Bible. It's good to pray. It's good to witness to other people. It's good to invite other people to church. Those things that please God. What did Jesus say? I do always those things that please the Father. So let me say to you today, our desire as Christians should be to live for Jesus. Somebody might want to argue with you and say, well, if that's the way I go about life, I just won't have any fun. I won't be able to do things I want to do. But they might be misunderstanding. Because if you really have the desire to live for Jesus, your life can be happier than any other way you try to go about it. It really can. So, that ought to be our desire, to live for Jesus. One more time, what did Jesus say? He said, I always do the things that please my Father. We fall short of that, don't we? But we can determine to live the right way with God's help. And I know I'm talking to a mix of people here today, that some of you have been saved for a long time. But we all need God's word. We all need the encouragement. We all need the strength. And so, yes, with God's help, we can live the right way. And he can help us to have the right perspective on life. He can help us to help others. He can guide us along the way. He can help us to stand strong. And so I close out today with saying this about living to please God. We will never regret living to please God. Now, if you don't know the Lord, the main thing you need is to put your faith in Christ as your Savior, and today's the best day to do it. Just be willing to admit you're a sinner. You need God's forgiveness. You want to believe that Christ died to pay for your sins. You want to, by faith, receive him into your life. Do you know God will save you if you'll call on his name, if you'll pray and believe? He really will. So if you need the Lord today, please trust him. We'll talk with you if you need help. If you are a Christian, I hope that you will receive encouragement from a message like this to be faithful in living for the Lord. Let's stand together and bow our heads for prayer, please.